We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Knicks Film School pregame show. My name is Andrew Claudio, a.k.a. GMAC, and it's time to preview the Knicks' upcoming matchup against the Miami Heat. I'm sure you could hear by the sound of my voice, I am not feeling the best at the moment. I guess you could call me Jalen Brunson or Jimmy Butler because I am playing pretty hurt right now. So we'll see if Jimmy Butler and Jalen Brunson also do the same for this matchup against the Heat that, I got to tell you, a week ago, had all the juice of a matchup against two old rivals, two teams that have had some wars in the playoffs in the past. And here we are a week later. The Miami Heat lost twice. And as a result, the Knicks are, not only are they like able to solidify that they won't have to worry about the Miami Heat for the rest of the season. If they win this game, they'll be four games up and then having the tiebreaker. But the Miami Heat are only two games up on Atlanta and Toronto. And now after this loss to the Raptors on Tuesday night, don't have the tiebreaker with Toronto. So the Knicks not only could not have to worry about the Heat, but could put the Heat into some serious jeopardy of falling into eighth or ninth. You just hate to see it, folks. Regardless, it's going to be a fun game. And I hope that obviously both teams are at full strength. Yes, I think that's the correct answer. Both teams are up for full strength. And joining me to talk about it in just a second is Jeremy Taché. For those of you that have watched like League Pass and might have seen him sometimes on the Miami Heat sidelines for Bally Sports Sun, he does some of the post-game work. Well, he'll do the post-game interviews. He also works for social for Bally Sports Sun. He also has a podcast called Miami Mic'd Up where he'll get some staples in the Miami market. That's both journalists like Justin Jackson and Ira Windermere and some other people from the Miami sports scene, as well as some players. He had like the whole Miami Marlins team on to preview the season a couple weeks ago. So that's Jeremy. You're going to hear from him in just a second. I will mention he is also a part of the team at the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. I understand if the only thing you know about them is the clip that went viral last week of them minimizing Willis Reed. That's not normally how the show goes. I actually think that type of incompetent tribute is perfect for the dysfunction that that show pushes out. Their whole motto is the worse we are, the better we are. So hopefully you're open to listening to Jeremy, who does great work and is a good voice to listen to, which is much better than my voice right now. So let's get into it. My conversation with Jeremy Taché of Bally Sports Sun, Miami Mic'd Up, and the Dan Le Batard Show. Enjoy. Joining me now here on the Knicks Film School pregame show for the fourth and most likely final time in what's felt like the last 2 months, the Knicks will be taking on the Miami Heat. Finally, they don't have to go down to South Beach to do it. And we'll see if it's as eventful as the previous three meetings are concerned. We'll talk about whether or not this game will have as much weight as the breaking news came down about an hour before we're recording that Jimmy Butler will not play against the Raptors. My guess is this is so that way he can play against the Knicks at full strength, but we'll get into that in a second. But as far as the Knicks are concerned, one of the biggest regular season games that they've had in the last, let's call it two decades. Mm. And then we're taking on the Miami Heat with the 5 seed still up for grabs. And joining me to talk all about it, you can see him on the sidelines or on your televisions in South Florida for Bally Sports Heat. You can also listen to him on the podcast, Miami Mic'd Up. I saw a bunch of his clips as a baseball fan, for those of you know, as a big Mets fan, when he had like the whole Marlins team just on his podcast, Miami Mic'd Up. Yep. And then, of course, Knicks fans, do not yell at me. Jer Bear from the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz.
Please don't yell at me either.
Yes, don't
please
yell don't. At him either. Jeremy Taché, welcome to the Knicks Film School pregame show.
It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be with you and your lovely audience. and seriously excited to talk some Heat Knicks here. And yeah, grateful that you had me. So thanks for bringing me in.
So let's start at the top with the news that just broke that Jimmy Butler will not be playing in the game tonight against Toronto. And I usually start with that. For those on YouTube, they usually see at the top, at the bottom when we're recording. So they know this is being recorded before the Heat have taken on the Raptors and
correct.
The result has come through. So we don't know whether the Knicks will be up 3 full games in the standings or whether the Heat have cut it back down to 2. But with Jimmy Butler not playing, do you get this sense that this is load management for the sake of it's back soreness is the reason he was on the Ira Winderman reported this, that he wasn't even on the injury report this morning. Mm-hmm. But do you get the sense that this is a precautionary thing because they have a game against the Knicks on Wednesday, or is this a lingering thing that there's a chance he could miss the game against the Knicks on Wednesday?
Yeah. So I haven't heard before this moment, and we are recording this at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. I hadn't heard anything. I believe this was neck soreness for Jimmy is what it was finally ultimately, turned in as here. And I hadn't heard anything about that specifically. So it does sort of make you feel like could be a load management sort of decision, whether that's specifically taken on the Knicks or if we see that from Jimmy sort of down the stretch here, if the Heat maybe have decided, you know what, we're hopeful to even get out of the play-in, but there's a chance even if the Heat play really great basketball, the Heat could beat the Knicks in this huge game upcoming on Wednesday. The Heat could win a lot of games down the stretch, and simply due to tiebreakers with the Nets and enough distance between them and the Knicks right now, they could still end up in the play-in tournament. So would I be shocked if Jimmy's looking at this game specifically against Toronto, a team that right now they have a 3-game cushion against? And maybe he's saying, you know what, this is the right night for, if my body's not feeling quite right, to take this night off and go into the Knicks game feeling fresh, feeling ready for obviously one that can move us up in the standings, not necessarily a game that's fighting somebody off. Yeah, I think that's totally possible. Jimmy's a guy that, you know, even when he's really banged up, you know, I'm not ever that concerned because he's a really tough physical guy and he takes care of his body particularly well as compared to, you know, all these NBA guys who already do.
I want to follow up on that because you have more access than some of the other guests that I've had on here. And you've obviously interacted with Jimmy on a more regular basis than I would have throughout your time, throughout your work. Because he plays such a physical style and because he's a player that, you know, you think of it getting, you're in for a tough matchup when you're facing a Jimmy Butler. I imagine he's injured all the time or playing with some injuries all the time. So from what you've seen and from your interactions with the team and specifically with Jimmy, how healthy has he been this season?
So he's been really healthy. Okay. I think that what's been great about Jimmy, and I let me say that with the caveat of like, because he's such a tough physical player, of course, he's always banged and bruised in a way that a player who is taking as much contact, who's sometimes getting to the free throw line 10 or 11 different individual trips to the free throw line, let alone 10 or 11 free throws. That guy's always going to be a little, you know, banged up. But in the reality, all I ever see is a guy who looks fresh, who I know going into this season, you know, the Heat saw the way that the wear and tear has sort of worked for this team going into the postseason, including last year where, you know, they going up against Boston sort of ran out of steam at the end. You know, in years before, obviously they ran out of steam against Milwaukee, you know, in the bubble, they got to the final. So this is a team that's been trying to sort of manage the wear and tear of what the last few years of the NBA has been. That's kind of all players, right? Like basically since the bubble, there's been more basketball played in a 3-year stretch than ever before for any NBA player. So this load management really is more of just like, these are guys trying to get to the finish line. And so Jimmy Butler came into the season looking at a team that was running it back, looked with himself, with Coach Spoelstra, with the training staff of the Miami Heat, including the individual trainers that work with Jimmy. And they basically laid out a game plan for what his season would look like, the type of minutes he'd be playing. If you look at it, even in the big games, Jimmy's not coming back until there's like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 7 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, in close games, in big games. They've really given him a very specific regimen for this season, the type of minutes he would play, the amount of games he would play, hopefully, should he be 100% healthy all year. And I think he's hit a lot of those benchmarks. I think he wishes he would have played in a few more games. There's been times where he's actually missed time with injury. But he's a guy who right now, he said it, like, I don't really start getting revved and ready to go until after the All-Star break. So he's someone who I think in a lot of ways is sort of reaching his peak physically. Like, he loves getting to the foul line and feeling like he can do that going into the playoffs because he knows how important that'll be.
So then with that in mind, that they had a mapped out plan specifically for how many minutes he'd play, how many games he would play. And I guess more specifically, and like Tibbs talks about this all the time, the leverage of the minutes that you're playing, with the way the Heat season has gone, how important is it for them to get to the 5 seed? Is it because just from the people I've talked to, we talked to Giancarlo Navas, who's become a friend of the pod with the Miami Heat.
Love beat. Him.
Talking to Zaslow last week as well. It does seem like the play-in, while you don't want to play in the play-in, you still get 2 home games to win one, if you're the 7 seed. Mm-hmm. And then I get the sense there's no fear of Philadelphia or Boston. So while it's a very important game to the Knicks, I personally want the Donovan Mitchell matchup. I want the smoke.
Right.
But as far as the Heat are concerned, will they be a little more cautious because the playoffs are what matter more?
Yeah. And you've seen it from this franchise kind of nonstop. They're a compete until the final whistle type of organization. I would never, ever view them as a team that's like taking a game lightly. Their whole thing constantly is we have enough. You know, that's Spo's big in a pregame press conference. We'll walk in and literally it's like Jamal Cain and Orlando Robinson are starting. And he's like, we have enough. You know, it's one of those where that's sort of their mentality always. And I think they're always trying to compete. On the same token, I don't think there's any fear. Like I think that this team has with this sort of core faced all sorts of different iterations of all of these teams ahead of them. They've faced the Celtics and Jason Tatum and whatever has surrounded him. They've faced Joel Embiid and the 76ers and whatever has surrounded him. They've faced Milwaukee and taken down Milwaukee in a year where Giannis was the MVP. I think their view of it is, yeah, of course, we'd like to get to the 5 seed because number one, that guarantees us a space where it's, you know, you don't have to worry about a couple of extra games where theoretically things could go wrong, injuries could occur, or you could lose because it's basketball and that happens. And this is not a good enough team to think that they can take Toronto, for example, just lightly just because, right? They can't do that. These games are all close every game all year long. When you look at it, the 5 seed matters in that way, but I don't think of course they'd like to play Cleveland over, you know, one of those other teams. There is a significant drop off, but this team doesn't really have fear. Jimmy Butler doesn't operate that way. And I think the surrounding players feed off of that. Like this team, you know, Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero have just an insane amount of confidence, each one of them in their own different ways. And Bam Adebayo does as well. And there's kind of energy that's fed from there to all these other guys who have been willed into being NBA players at the level that they are, all these undrafted players.
So then do you get the sense that regardless of what playoff seeding they are, this team, this organization expects to make a deep run in the playoffs this year, despite how up and down this regular season has been?
I think the big thing is that they're always expecting themselves to compete at their best possible level. Mm-hmm. I think that, look, all of these guys have been on now championship level teams. they've played on teams that are championship level consistent. Even last year, they were a shot away, a Jimmy Butler three-pointer that banged off the rim away from going to the finals again for the second time in 3 years. Like, this team is a championship level team when you think about it from that perspective. And so I think they know what level of consistency both offensively and defensively is necessary to be a championship team. And I think if they're realistic with themselves, which I think most of these guys are, they know they haven't been that yet. But I think there is this belief of, we've done it before, we could do it again. And in the last few weeks, although up and down and inconsistent, more flashes of the great version of this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Knicks just saw it. Like, more flashes of the best version of what this team is that can compete with just about anybody. A team that beat the Nuggets not all that long ago. And so on the same token, you know, they'll drop a game to the Pistons, or they'll drop a game, like these inexplicably bad losses where you're shaking your head and not understanding. And that started back early in the year when they lost to a tanking Spurs team and everyone was just looking around like, what's going on? This team is so volatile. You could tell me, hey, they end up in the play-in and they actually lose back-to-back games and they're out because they couldn't shoot and they couldn't stop anybody. Or you could tell me they play their way all the way to the five seed in the final week. They beat Cleveland and then they go at least have a puncher's chance with Milwaukee. Like, I'd believe you no matter what you said because of how strange this year has been.
See, you're hitting on how I've processed the Miami Heat season all year, where mm-hmm. it's like, and I said this to Zaslow last week, I'm so ready to be like afraid of the Heat in the sense of what they were last year.
Right.
And I've seen the shooting numbers that have improved. I've seen Jimmy activate this mode that he always goes to earlier this season than I think he has mm-hmm. in years past. And last Wednesday against the Knicks was like, in a moment, in a vacuum, a wake up call of like, right. okay, this team should be feared. Next Wednesday is going to be a dogfight.
That's what I thought.
But then this Brooklyn game happens on Udonis Haslam night. And I'm like, you lost a little brother by how much at home
right.
in your building? So it's, I'm back and forth on this Heat team. And I'm wondering if, so what would you deem a successful ending to this season? Like, obviously a championship is the successful one, but like, yeah. is it, you make, they're the sixth seed and they take Philly or Boston to six or seven?
Man, I'll tell you, I think that in their minds, like, it would still take winning a playoff series to feel like it was successful. I think they would accept the fact that, all right, we got to the six, which was hard fought given all these different things that happened all year. And we're glad we fought hard against a good team. But like, I don't think any of these guys would be satisfied with that. Like, I don't think that like, oh, cool, we made a little run at the end of the year to not be in the play-in is good enough for what their standard is for themselves. And that goes up and down the roster. Like, that includes the guys who are these undrafted players who have now become key role players. Like, their expectation of themselves was more than this. And so, no, I mean, like, with the Heat, it sounds like a lot, but a successful season for the Heat always in their minds is just, it's winning the championship. Now, obviously last year was a successful season. They were a one seed that was also a shot away from making it to the finals. They've had, you know, 2020, obviously a successful season, despite the fact that they didn't win the whole thing. But I think for me, like, if you're asking my opinion, my opinion now, based off of like where we stand today, a successful season would be like an upset in a first round. And I'd be like, yeah, you know what? That was a very successful season given what they were. If they lose in the first round, it'll be all right. That's kind of what we saw all year long. Was an inconsistent team that probably will take Philly or Boston or whoever they get to six or seven games, because that's what this team does. They don't make it easy. I know, you know, friend, and I don't know, God, he's probably hated because New York too, but Mike Schur, who is like friend of Lebatard. He's
I'm
benign.
A fan of Mike Shore. I love that guy. I'm a fan of Mike Shore.
I'm a gigantic fan, and one day he'll know that. But but he's still saying, like, I fear the Heat, not even because I necessarily think they'll win, just because I think they'll beat the living hell out of us in seven games, and that won't be good for the next round. And like, more likely than not, that could be the destiny for this team. But again, I can constantly convince myself Jimmy Butler's playing potentially the best basketball of his career. Tyler Hero is legitimately statistically the best clutch player in the game, which is insane, but he is. He's hit more threes in the fourth quarter than anybody in the league. He's hit more go-ahead buckets with a minute to go in the game than anybody in the league in the most in 10 years. Like, he's great. And Bam is having the best season of his career. So you have those three. If the role players can shoot 2% better from three, all of a sudden you're like, oh, we could do anything. And so I think that's kind of like this thing that everybody's been waiting to ignite. And you're right. Last Wednesday felt like that game. It felt like that game. And then instantly by Saturday night, you're like, what happened? It really, in all year long, it's been these polarizing up and down. So it's one of the strangest seasons I can remember in Heat history.
Do you get a sense? Like, I know how the fan base will feel, because that's mostly who I've dealt with. Will the organization of Miami Heat, did they take the Nick rivalry personally at all? I know it's been 20 years, but there's still the Riley factor of it all. Obviously, Jimmy and Julius Randle got into it last Wednesday. And obviously, like, Randle hit the shot a month ago. So, like, that is a thing that the Knicks have to be on their radar. Just losing the five seed, like, if you lost to Brooklyn, it's like, well, they had this big head start, and then Katie and Kyrie left, and you just couldn't catch them. Losing it to the Knicks, did they take that personally, or just in it specifically, would that add to the disappointment if they were to lose tomorrow night?
I think it would be even more. It's more of like a, if it was between the six and the seven seed, where it was like legit stakes of who was going to make it to the quote unquote playoffs and who wasn't, there'd be a little more sting there. You know, if the Heat fall all the way down to seven and the Knicks are five, it doesn't hit quite the same way. But I do think like a loss in the Garden that kind of cements you in the play-in would certainly hurt. You know, Heat Knicks does mean something. Mm-hmm. Like there's a history to it. It does mean something. It means different things to both fan bases. And understandably, like, the last couple of decades have been weird since Heat Knicks was really Heat Knicks. And
you
the
don't
Knicks,
say, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be nice. I look, man, we're well, I'm trying to win over history, an audience here. I'm trying to win over an audience. And so, no, but ultimately, like, because the last couple of decades have been what they've been, there's not that same, like, you know, anger necessarily. But like, I do know how frustrating it is, because there's so many New Yorkers in South Florida, and so there's so many dang Knicks fans at Heat games, you know, and it does make it makes the energy different. There's not a lot of teams that come to Miami the same way. Right. No different than like there's a bunch of Jets fans at Dolphins games, and there's a bunch of Mets fans at Marlins games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of New Yorkers who are transplants down here. And so ultimately they come out with their jerseys and they're ready to kind of rock also. And so it creates a fun energy in the building. That was my what was supposed to be, I don't know, my last game on the sideline for the regular season. And I was so excited that it was Heat Knicks. And that was like at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh man, I don't know what that game's going to be. I don't know where either of our seasons are going to be. And the closer we got, I was like, oh man, I'm getting a Heat Knicks game, like a real one, you know, like where there's stakes behind it. And we haven't had so much of that. And the way Spoelstra spoke pregame about it, like, you can tell these guys care about Heat Knicks in a way, because I think there's just, if you play for the Heat, you respect the history of the organization. And it's kind of ingrained into you, the sort of Heat culture thing. And Spoelstra is such a child of Riley that all of that is sort of ingrained into the DNA of the team.
Yeah. So first of all, I'll start here. I went to Miami for the first time over the summer for a vacation, and attended my first Mets Marlins game at Lone Depot Park with Met jersey and Met hat. And you are correct. That was
a lot of Mets fans.
Oh, Citi Field South. If I didn't think so myself.
Certainly in those games, in those games,
Got a ninth inning chant going, a standing ovation chant ready for the final out. So, I was able to enjoy. So I understand the frustration isn't just coming from the fact that, like, the Heat-Knick rivalry, it's the New York-Miami frustration of like, you've all moved down, you've migrated south.
Especially the last couple of years, man. It's been that way for the last couple of decades, but the last couple of years, there's been even more of it. So now I was on I took a train down. Like, there's not a lot of public transportation. It's a private train, whatever. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Bright Line. It's a thing in South Florida. And it's cool. I really like it. We're trying with transportation being better than just cars. Anyway.
Listen, someone who takes MTA, Long Island Railroad all the time, right. I understand the frustration with public transit.
But the point being, I'm getting on the train and I'm going down to Miami to work the game, and I'm looking around me on this Bright Line, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, man, this sucks. It's like mostly Knicks fans. It's mostly Knicks fans. And that was just going down like from Fort Lauderdale or whatever. And, you know, we happen to in Miami be more of a late arriving crowd. So, you know, Miami showed up. That was definite. I mean, it was certainly, there was a smattering of Knicks fans ultimately at the game. It was dominated by Heat fans and you could feel it. I'm sure you could feel it watching on TV. But it's a fun environment. It's just fun. It's fun when you get teams in cities that have sort of an inherent, like, there's something between them because of multiple sports, and New York Miami gets to be one of those, right? Like, we have Heat Knicks, theoretically Mets Marlins is a rivalry. It should be in some capacity.
You used the right word, theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. And whenever the Marlins are good, those games with the Mets, like in 03, those games with the Mets were always fun. It's just, you have that. And then obviously the Jets and the Dolphins despise each other.
Listen, the Jets-Dolphin thing could get really fun, especially if the Jets get Rodgers and whatever's about to happen with the Dolphin quarterback.
It's going
to
be fun.
So that should be... You guys have Mike White. The games that Mike White plays against
Mike
the Jets
White, man.
Will matter to me, at least.
I will tell you, I played high school baseball against Mike White.
Really?
Like, yeah, I've known... We played travel baseball against each other.
He's from South Florida. That's right.
So it's pretty cool. It's a homecoming for him. I'm very excited for him. I am not friends with him, but I have like a lot of... I have some friends who are very good friends with him and are very happy that he's home. So,
well, enjoy your homecoming, Mike White. I will do my very best to enjoy Aaron Rodgers. And as far as
for you,
I was about to say, I think I'll figure out a way to enjoy Aaron Rodgers.
For over 30 years, the law offices of Weiss and Rosenblum in New York City has been home to a team of award-winning, hard-hitting injury attorneys who have a long track record of seven-figure results. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, fall, construction accident, or other traumatic event, Weiss and Rosenblum will work tirelessly to maximize the award, regardless of the severity of your injury, and get you and your family the fair and just compensation you deserve. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today at 212-366-6100. Again, that's 212-366-6100, or visit weissandrosenblum.com for more information. No case is too big or too small. Personal attention to your matter is a priority. Once more, call 212-366-6100. Previous results do not guarantee future outcomes. If you think you might have a case, speak with a veteran attorney, not a rookie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You've got New Year's goals, and HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. Looking for an easy way to eat well and save money this year? Cut back on expensive takeout and delivery and get started with HelloFresh. You'll love how easy, fun, and affordable it is to whip up a restaurant-quality meal right in your own kitchen. With fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions are ready in less than 15 minutes. Enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. If you know anything about me, you know that I'm not the greatest when it comes to cooking. Thankfully, I found a life partner that loves her time in the kitchen and loves putting together these elaborate meals. Unfortunately, with her schedule working at a school all day and my schedule covering sports all night, we rarely have time to go to the grocery store together. Well, HelloFresh has made it possible for us to do all the grocery shopping for the week right from the comfort of our living room. In fact, just last night when I was editing the latest KFS pod, she was putting together two plates of Presto Pesto Panko chicken with roasted potatoes and green beans. We were able to do dinner and a movie without even leaving the comfort of our own home. And this is just one of several delicious HelloFresh meal options, with cook and prep time taking less than an hour. When you've got busy, conflicting schedules like ours, you don't have to go out for dinner and a movie. Instead, it comes right to you. Don't hesitate. Head to HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool60 and use code FilmSchool60 for 60% off plus free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool60 and use code FilmSchool60 for 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about Game Time. Is there an upcoming event you're trying to get tickets to? Whether it be tickets to one of the final home games of the Knicks season, or maybe it's a concert or a comedy show. Whatever it is, buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped up for the fun you're gonna have. Currently browsing through the Game Time app, and I see all the events coming up in the area. Whether it be the Knicks home game against the Miami Heat on Wednesday, or home opener tickets for the Mets and Yankees, the Game Time app is so easy to navigate. You can search by category, like sports, music, or shows, or search by teams, like the Yankees, Islanders, or Knicks. I have to say that my favorite feature is the full 3D peripheral view you get whenever you select a seat. Just select a seat that's within your price range, move the phone from left to right, and get a good idea of the view you'll have during the event. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Game Time is also the fastest growing ticketing app in the country, and for a good reason. As I mentioned, get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, just two taps and you're set. Tickets are then sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use promo code FILMSCHOOL for $20 off your first purchase. Again, create an account and redeem code FILMSCHOOL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. You mentioned like the Marlins Mets rivalry, like as somebody who's been a Mets fan since the 90s, I remember the last regular season game of 2007. I was in the building for the last ever game at Chase Stadium in which the Marlins closed the building and the Mets were eliminated from the playoff contention. So,
you get it. Yeah.
I get it. Believe me, the New York South Florida rivalry is absolutely there. You also add in what else is going on in South Florida and the fact that there's a very realistic chance that the two teams in the national championship game for college basketball on the men's side could be like Southern Florida schools between FAU and the University of Miami. And like you talked about the Dolphins and the leap they took and trading for Jalen Ramsey and getting Tyreek Hill last year. And who knows if they make a bigger splash with Lamar Jackson and this whole Tom Brady thing. Also, the World Baseball Classic, while it was detrimental to me with my closer, I can't ignore the impact it had globally and the event it became. And then you sneak in with this Knicks Heat rivalry. It's definitely an exciting time to have this whole thing come together.
For sure.
So across the board in South Florida, this is because you mentioned like we're a late arriving crowd. Do they own that they're a late arriving crowd? And just gonna throw it out there. Also an early leaving crowd.
Not an early leaving crowd. It's overblown. It's overblown. There were 20 people that walked out. It's not as bad as it looked. Everybody sees the visuals from the night Ray Allen hit the shot. And then everybody
trying to get back in the building.
Heat fans trying to get back in the building. Look back at it. It's like 20, 30, 40 people. There were thousands that were still in there. Everybody's cool. And look, of course. The thing about Miami, and it's the thing I've been trying to say about the Marlins, to be honest, and we can relate all of what you just mentioned back together. People want an event, right? What's cool about Heat fandom now is it started with the 06 team where it was Wade and Shaq, and that made it an event. But really, obviously, once the big three came along, like every game sells out. Like even when there's people showing up late, even when some of the people in the rich people seats aren't showing up exactly on time. And so on TV, it might look a little more empty. Man, 300 levels always full. You know, the people are always there. And it's because they turned it into an event and then basically proved, hey, we're going to keep trying to compete over and over and over again. So you're always going to see a team that's trying their hardest and we've made it fun. Right. And so if you look at the rest of South Florida, you know, Dolphins fandom's been there for the long term because they've been around for so long. And you've got all these old fans who remember 72, you know, who were still around from that. But with the Marlins, it's a really complicated fan base in that, you know, obviously you have the heartbreak that they've had of selling off multiple World Series winning teams. Then, you know, building a new stadium and selling off a team right after you've built that new stadium and promised to spend. And, you know, and then, you know, when Jeter came in, trading away Stanton and Ozuna and Yelich, which ultimately, like, it's complicated, you know, whatever. But I actually still believe all of that was sort of with the right ideology.
Sandy Alcantara is pretty good.
He's sensational. Yeah. And they got him and Jazz both out of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did something right. And so from here now, like that fan base is in this complicated place of like, all right, so are you going to build a winner? And I think the reality is if they do, people will show up because people want an event and Marlins games will be an event. And you look at the reason I mention it is you look at the World Baseball Classic and you see the energy. And yeah, a lot of people traveled from across the country and from across the world to be there for it. But that was full of locals, man. That was a lot of South Floridians of all sorts of different ethnicities showing up to party at a baseball game. Like it was amazing. And I think that, you know, I'm excited because I do believe that if the Marlins ever do build not just a winner, but a winner that it's obvious that it's going to stick around, that that's not just like, hey, we're going to try to win once and then sell everything off. It's like, hey, we're going to be like the Heat who are always trying to compete. You know, once we've reached that space, you know, and no, never with the Mets budget, but doing the Rays thing of like, we're always trying. We're not tanking for talent. We're always trying and figuring it out. I think once that is sustainable and you see the Marlins in the playoffs once or twice, like you will see those fans show up. And I do believe ultimately Miami fans
no matter the sport, once you're there, like once they've been hooked, they're very loyal fans. And that is why you hear some of the, like, you know, trash talk and, you know, Heat Twitter is nuts. Like, it's awesome and it's crazy and it's fun. You know, like I know it's I know I'm rambling a lot today.
No,
is,
I'm listening.
You got me in a good mood, man. This
you're
is
good.
Fun.
Yeah. It's a good time to be in South Florida. You know, what I'll say, you mentioned the fact that they're an event town and like from the limited knowledge I have of L.A., and Riley probably brought some of that over.
Not dissimilar.
That's just like that was Jerry Buss's whole thing. Is this isn't just a game. This is an event. You know, the fact that you went to the club, I forget the name of it, that Magic used to go to after games. You weren't just going to the game. You were going to the event, Lakers, whomever.
For sure.
And as a result, I feel like Miami has started to be, specifically the Heat have adopted that similar type of idea. And it helps when you have Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and even Jimmy Butler. And I think just it's a different level of dedication from your location, which I recognize it as someone who's lived in New York his whole life. It's just not much to do in the winter except be inside. So we're going to get really upset about these sports teams that we watch. Whereas in Miami, if the team's not that good, there's the beach. So like you have that same thing with LA and the California teams as well. So I wonder if that's where some of the trash talk comes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so you got reservations on South Beach tonight. Enjoy your night, Miami. You know,
right. Well, and what's interesting about that too, and you know, creates such an interesting element is in comparison when you make it like these three cities and we talk about New York, LA, and Miami really is the split difference. And that, because all three have their own version of like glitz and glam, right? But Miami's is closer to LA's in that it's, you know, beachy and, you know, there's the tropics and all of that. But the really interesting element, and look, I don't know as much about LA, so it's maybe unfair of me to say, but there is this undertone with Miami that I know New Yorkers have the same with, which is like working class town. No matter how much glitz and glam, there's a lot of just working class people who really power Miami. Ultimately, Miami is all of these working class folks from all of these different parts of Miami, and the overtone of it is like the cocaine 80s and everything that's come from that. And so there's this really weird dichotomy that exists between the two. And what's crazy is the Heat have found their way to hit both. The game is an event. It's a party. There's a club. Everybody's nuts. It's glitz and glam. There's celebrities on the floor. Everything's crazy. But what's the mantra? It's hardest working, best condition, toughest Heat culture.
Right.
So you're doing both. You've hit both. And it's crazy because the team really is both. Like the team does exemplify that sort of nitty gritty working class, whatever, but has been lucky enough that like in its two stars that have been the focal points of the last decade, because I it's Dwayne Wade and it's Jimmy Butler. Like when you look at, because it's obviously LeBron is LeBron and it's a whole other animal, but the guys that have sort of carried the culture as the stars, they're both guys whose games are like get to the line, tough, defense oriented,
gotta work
scorers,
for it.
Work for it. And yet both of them like know how to be a celebrity. You know, both of them get it. They both got the ads. They both are funny. And it really is amazing that they've found this way to like weave through both of those things that Miami is. It's what makes, I think, the connection to that franchise specifically so special for fans down here.
Yeah, the LA thing, it's not so much that you don't work hard when you live in LA. It's like you're chasing a dream. Like the transplants that live in LA, you're like a lot of what I've seen in Miami is it's nice to live here. There's no state income tax. And that's why a lot of New Yorkers move down there, you know?
Right.
So it's the same mentality. You're not chasing after something. Whereas I'm going to move to Hollywood and to go, chase a dream.
Exactly.
Which like more power to you. But as a result, there's just it's different. You know,
it's neither
right or wrong.
You know? No, absolutely not. And it's why all of these cities have their own unique relationships with sports.
Yeah.
And it's what makes all of them what they are and why these rivalries are so cool amongst the three. Like it's weird because obviously Heat Lakers isn't a rivalry. Mm-mm. And yet when Shaq was here, it was like for a couple of years there, every Christmas was Heat Lakers. And then,
well, the added part of Riley had to have something to do with it too.
Oh, of course. Know? And yeah, Riley. And then when LeBron was here and, you know, Kobe was still the guy in LA, it was like, all right, still Christmas games sometimes with the Heat and Lakers, even though it wasn't a rivalry at all. And so like, even there, we've had that like taste and that glimpse of like that, that city and those teams mattering to each other. So I don't know. It's fascinating to watch the way they all interact, and it makes for, you know, Wednesday night's game, you know, that much more fun.
Last thing on this before I ask my last question, I don't know how long you've lived. Have you lived in Miami your whole life or South Florida your whole life?
South Florida my whole life.
So I cannot express how miserable a Northeast winter is. So like, I'll throw a bone to my brothers up here in Philadelphia, in Boston, where the reason these three cities and these three sports fan bases are so passionate, we'll call it.
Because what else can you do?
Exactly. Just like, it's, I'm it's inside, miserable. I'm yelling about the Jets, I'm yelling about the Pats, I'm yelling about the Eagles, and then like it spreads across. It's why like when Mets and Yankee fans show up and it's like, oh, it's spring. And it's like, shut up. I went through the wars of the winter sports. What are you talking about?
Well, and it cracks me up, right? Yeah. Because you guys will then bag on Miami fans for taking advantage of the fact that they don't have to do that. Like, oh, but you guys don't care enough. And it's like, right. But if we care, when we care enough, you're like, oh, but you're fair weather fans. And it's like, hold on, give me a break. Pick one. Yeah, it cracks me up, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm self-aware about as that's concerned. I'm able to recognize what it is while also dipping into my arrogant Northeast Yankee ways.
Don't get wrong. I'll do the same thing, man. Oh, and good, also, good. I was raised a Yankee fan. So that's how, that's how that also like, and there's probably a bunch of us who were like same deal, right? My dad was born in Brooklyn and then moved to Miami when he was a kid. And so it's one of those, like, I was a Yankee fan. I had a Derek Jeter fathead in my room as I was a kid.
I like to get the perspective of people outside of our little New York bubble on what the Knicks are doing. And obviously, you know, I will say you're, I don't know. First of all, have you been able to disconnect yourself from fandom and like you're now part of like the media side? You're also like, this is a job, but you're also, it's like a fun job.
It's
so
fun,
like,
and weird. It's fun and weird.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, the answer is yes and no. Like, I'm capable of taking the fan hat off and doing analysis.
Right.
I'm also very much allowed to still be a fan, in the roles that I'm in. Like, I work for a network that is team partners with, you know, no different than it would be working for MSG, right? Like, there it's a little more intimate even. But with Valley, like, we're team partners with the Heat and the Marlins and the Panthers. So I don't have to pretend, you know, our slogan is the heart of the fan. Like, I don't have to pretend like I don't care deeply about these teams. On the same token, you know, my job is to give people perspective and to tell stories. And so I try to be able to disconnect where I can so that I can look at things from an objective view and go, okay, realistically, where does the league stand? So I try to listen to a lot of other people's podcasts. I try to do a lot of things like honestly, listening to your podcast ever since you reached out. I listened before our last go around with the Knicks, right? So I'm trying to kind of get the gauge of where local fans feel about their team if I'm going to do a game. And then otherwise, it's mostly just kind of trying to tune into like national coverage of some of the national brands that I do, you know, respect, and some of those writers who cover the game, and either listen to podcasts or read articles and kind of keep myself informed. So if the follow up question is, what are my thoughts about the Knicks?
What do you think about the Knicks
going?
Yeah,
I really think they're actually are really building something great. I think Jalen Brunson is such a perfect Nick. Like, he's just a great player, and to add him to what they were already building, like, it's a funky team. And I do think that, like, I don't think whatever the final iteration of like the best version of this go around of the Knicks is going to look that similar to like what it is right now. I would think of the, you know, 8 or 9 guys who matter them, it'll be like 3 or 4 of those guys will ultimately be there when it's like the best version. You know, you can even look back at like the Big Three era when they had the Big Three, like that first team, that's not what it looked like by the time they won a title in year two. Like, it wasn't even close with the role players. But I love, like, I think that Jalen Brunson is great. I think that RJ Barrett has a huge potential. And realistically, I think that Julius Randle has proven a lot of Heat fans wrong.
Heat fans wrong, yes.
Well, I think specifically because there was a maniac who said that he was as good as Chris Bosh.
His name is Brandon Tierney.
And he's a maniac. He might be a lovely guy. I have no idea.
You'll be able to understand this.
Yeah.
Some of it is for the show.
Yeah, like, I get it.
I get it. That's more where the way I took that take.
And that's where we all, it's what I assume too. Most of this is all a show. Like it's all fun and hype and we're just participating in a thing. And so, but ever since like when that happened, I became like, all right, I think all Heat fans were like, all right, anti-Julius Randle fan club, right?
Yeah.
And he has been so sensational, God, specifically against the Heat. Like, he's been great. I know they obviously defended him pretty well the other night, but like, he is on another level. And to watch him take that leap where I think he was one of those guys where he had one great year early in his career where after that, he took a bit of a step back down and you're like, oh, OK, that might have been a flash in the pan. And to watch him round into the complete player that he is, it's been as like a basketball fan. It's fun to watch. So I do think that the Knicks are like clearly headed in the right direction. And I think what's great for them now is like they're set up for the ability to now make a real move. You know, like that's the bigger thing. If we're being completely honest.
Like, and that's the, sorry to interrupt you, but like,
no, please do.
But that's the biggest takeaway from the season. That is why when people bring up the Donovan Mitchell summer last year and like my entire content schedule for the summer was like, well, as soon as the draft's over, as soon as free agency's over, we knew Jalen Brunson was coming. Well, it was like, okay, then we're done. Then the Donovan Mitchell stuff, the Gobert trade happens. And it's like, all right, I guess Donovan Mitchell's happening. There was a night, and I think we've talked about this. There was a night where the minimal access and sources that we had said, like, hey, like, get ready.
He's going to be here.
Tomorrow's the day. And we're like, all right, like, there is in a recycle bin in a server somewhere in my computer, a cover art for like emergency live stream.
Yeah.
With Donovan Mitchell being guarded by RJ Barrett.
Oh.
Meant to be for that. And so, like, when that didn't happen, I know Richard Jefferson recently said this, like, been on the pod, don't know how much of a friend of the pod he is, but like, it's a good thing the Knicks didn't get Donovan Mitchell because the league would have been over. In other words, like, they should have done it. I know Stephen A, again, for the show, is doing the thing of like, I'm going to say that this season's a failure if you lose to Donovan Mitchell, which whatever, it got clicks, it got eyeballs. I get it. Exactly. And just like from a realistic standpoint, I don't know how the timeline plays out this season if they do go somewhat all in. Like, is Emmanuel Quickley the sixth man of the year?
They're just with a different team right now. Man.
Like, does Julius Randle have this turnaround?
God, Emmanuel Quickley's so good.
So, like, they have all of these good, dominoes man. That have
there's
fallen.
There's these fun
this
guys,
year,
man. You know? This is a fun team. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's a lot of really great. There's a lot of really great pieces on this team. I mean, even God, the acquisition of Josh Hart, like.
Yep.
What a great move. And like, again, how often, like, not to, but how often are we saying that about the Knicks? Like,
no,
what a great move.
It's like, real. Again,
it's been a long time since I've been like, yeah, all right, they're doing some stuff right.
Dude.
And look, for me, I think it's fun. I think it's fun when both the Heat and the Knicks are good. It's better. It'd be way better for everybody if, like, the next, honestly, neither of us want this to be what the ceiling is. But if the next 3 years, all the 4-5 matchups were Heat Knicks in the first round, because both of these teams are just kind of punching and clawing at each other in the Eastern Conference, that'd be the best thing for the NBA. Like, it'd be awesome if they're both really solid defensive oriented playoff teams. Like, that's fun. Like, and so to me, I'm never mad when the Knicks look like they're going in a decent direction. I always find it funny when people, it's like, you don't really want your rival to stink. You don't. You want them to be good enough so that you can beat them when it matters.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want the Knicks to matter enough to then break their hearts.
To then break their hearts. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what any fan should want.
I will say,
no, but if they make, they got some moves, man.
Oh, yeah. They've, well, so the moves are, they're in pole position for Embiid is the way that I've been processing how the season is. Man. If the Sixers blow up, say they lose to a Miami Heat in the first round in the 3-6, right? And then Harden goes back to Houston and Embiid asks out, here's all the things we were going to offer for Donovan Mitchell, Daryl Morey. So like, as far as the Knicks are concerned, they're in a good spot. You mentioned you want your rivalry to be good. A lot of Knicks fans my age, our inception into being Knicks fans is the late 90s when your rival was really good and you consistently broke their heart
every
year. So you get it. Like,
completely. Look,
Giancarlo, I went on his show last week and he asked me, like, is Knicks Heat back? Like, is the rivalry back? And my answer was like, there's going to need to be some playoff matchups. Like, this Knicks Hawks thing has been weird because it's one playoff matchup that Trae Young, it's the only time he's ever performed well against the Knicks, by the way. Like, that's the only, like, the Knicks are like 11-5 against him in his career. And for some reason, this five game series. Too,
and he just like,
it's like the one game that he does go off,
bizarre.
That gets highlighted, but then the games that he doesn't just completely get missed. But that at least became somewhat of a rivalry because it happened in the playoffs. The timeline of a seven game series or a best of seven series that builds out the hatred for, like, I hate you by game seven of that series,
for,
you know?
For sure.
So that's where, like, maybe this is the 4-5 next year. Maybe it's the 2-3 in the second round or the 1-4 in a couple years. So I agree with you. That's how, look, this is as close as we're going to get for now. This is this random Wednesday in the middle of March that already gets to the end of March, you know, for the 5 seed. So I'm looking forward to it. Jeremy, Jer-Bear, thank you so much for joining me here on the Knicks Film School pregame show. Before you go, please let everybody know where they can find you and all your stuff.
First of all, thank you very much. This was a blast and I hope I didn't ramble too much. I feel like I said some things that were
not at all
kind of out there. So I hope people enjoyed it.
I do wonder the crossover baseball to the Knicks that may come, but I guess we'll find out.
Sorry if I bored you guys. And if you're you're probably not listening. So if you are listening right now,
Mike Sherr would be proud.
And that's all I care about. Mm-hmm. If you are listening right now, that means you enjoyed this episode enough that you might actually like listening to some of the things that I do. So you could follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Tache. That's at Jeremy Tache. It's on the screen here for those of you watching. You could do that also on Instagram and TikTok, which I do now. Not a lot of I'm learning. I'm weird age. I'm 27, so I'm like I'm at the end of millennials, technically on the borderline between millennial and Gen Z, but I'm not Gen Z at all. I'm super old.
I'm super old. I'm 34. Yeah. So like TikTok
is foreign. Yeah.
I missed it.
I tried. All it is trying. I'm telling you, I'm just trying.
We've gotten like more into our socials and like we got to make sure we do this. Like I go to TikTok and it's like I don't know what to do with it.
Technically, I'm still not really doing anything other than putting clips of interviews up there. But if you want to see those with some better captions than you would see elsewhere and on, you know, vertical edits, you can watch it on TikTok. Subscribe to Miami Mic'd Up. That's my podcast. I speak to someone either in sports media or on a team every week. It's either the Heat, the Marlins, the Panthers, or folks who are talking about them. And sometimes we have some random national journalists who join the show just to kind of chit chat about whatever's going on. So that's my podcast. It's fun and you should listen. And then I'm also on the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz, so you should listen to the podcast that we have over there, where I'm sure we'll be super nice to Knicks fans.
Yes, they love New York over
New York over there.
The Dan Le Batard show.
We Stu Gatz,
New Yorker that migrated south.
He's
literally one of the people.
He's what I'm talking about. He's what I'm talking about, and he knows it. He knows it too. But that's all the stuff. I hope you guys enjoy some of it, and just be nice to each other.
Yes, as someone who gets the show, I appreciate you making the time, and I, on behalf of probably just me, I wish you and the guys over at the Le Batard show well. I'd say I wish you luck in this game on Wednesday. I hope you're miserable.
I hope you're miserable as well. I hope all of you listening to this really hate your night on Wednesday.
Yes, I hope all of the New Yorkers in Miami, I hope they're as loud as possible and make it known how loud they are after that game was over. Jeremy, thank you for coming on, my man.
Absolutely.
Big shot. Oh, wow. You know what? I'm leaving all this in. Let's see how far I can get into this outro. Big shout out to Jeremy Tache of Bally Sports Sun, Miami Mic'd Up, and the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. You know what to do. You don't have to go subscribe to the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. They have like the fourth biggest sports podcast in the world, one of the 15 biggest podcasts also in the world. So go check out Miami Mic'd Up, though, if you're into like just local sports stuff. And please give him a follow. The KFS Bump, 5 stars. You know what to do. Look, it's been a crazy year getting to know some people from South Florida and get to know some of the content creators and journalists that cover the South Florida sports scene. And while I have enjoyed getting to know these people like Jeremy and Zaslow and obviously Giancarlo, I hope they're miserable by the end of the game on Wednesday. So hopefully the Knicks can get us a W. The casual crew will be on playback. We will see how I feel and whether I will join them on playback. So check that out if you want to join us for the $7 a month to get you into the Patreon tier, the Mellow Patreon tier, which you can then join us live for our playback watch parties and then watch it later in case you missed it. As far as I'm concerned, that'll do it for me. If you dig the show, head over to iTunes, 5 stars and a review. I'll be back on Friday to preview the Cavs game. We'll see if it has stakes. Donovan Mitchell got hurt tonight. So we'll see how much that game matters. But until next time, thank you for listening. Enjoy the game tonight, and I'll speak with you soon. Peace.